welcome to Facilitating the Mission, the Shepherd Staff Mission Facilitators podcast to help churches send their own missionaries well. My name's Ed.
And my name's Jeff.
Hey, Jeff, what's before we really dig into our topic of furloughs today, what's going on with Shepherd Staff?
Well, actually, Ed, it's kind of exciting because we've recently begun serving a few churches that have always sent out their own as missionaries through like a traditional agency approach rather than sort of direct. And it's been exciting to be able to go to these churches and say, hey, you can do this, and then start to equip them, give them the tools so that they can send and care for their own. That's really exciting stuff.
So they're having a bit of a change of mind, so to speak, a different model for them, but they still, in either model, they're sending out to the nations.
Yeah, their heart's for the nations, and they're continuing to send their own. They're just doing it in a new way with more participation on their own part. And when we see that happening as a ministry, we get excited about that.
It's kind of fun. I know we've had the honor of kind of helping them take those steps and go from releasing their missionaries to an agency to now really continuing to love and care and pastor their missionaries as they go out.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, I got a really cool email the other day from somebody that we serve, a missionary from one of these type churches that had always sent through traditional agencies. And the missionary was communicating how awesome it is that the number of people from his home church involved in caring for him at these different levels is actually being a huge blessing to him and his family on the field.
That's great. I know we use around here, we use the phrase tethers of connection, and so that's deepening as the connections back to the home church just deepen and richen, really.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, today we want to talk about furloughs, and we want to specifically talk for missionaries the concept of why there's needed to take a furlough. And I know when you were on the field, you certainly came back to the States for a season a couple of times, and as my family did, and I confess, it was a really strange time, really strange experience of, in so many ways, the mission field, and for me it was in Nairobi, Kenya, had become home. We had become, you know, residents, and we had commitments, and we had ongoing civic responsibilities, not just ministry, but involved in the community. And we had to shut all that down, even sublet our house, get our vehicle taken care of, and that didn't even start to, you know, the kind of putting the ministry on hold, or at least my responsibilities in ministry on hold, to come back to the States. It's quite a strange experience. How about yourself?
Yeah, it's a similar experience, and it's interesting when you're on the field. You there is that moment in time, you don't know when it actually happens, where you actually start embracing where you're living as home. And eventually, yeah, there's a great value in coming back. But even the whole idea of, you know, why missionaries should take a furlough, I think it's good to talk about what are we talking about when we use the word furlough, because it's kind of one of those old school words that comes from the military or other places. And so maybe we should kick around the idea of what we're talking about when we use the word furlough in regards to missions. What do you mean, Ed?
Well, I don't have any real thought of my own, so I looked it up. You know, I went to the dictionary, and it's interesting that when you go to the dictionary, it speaks of a government furlough, being let off of your government job, or in the military, being let out of the military, or a temporary release. And interesting enough, and this is not analogous to the mission field, of course, it has to do with prisoners that are given a mercy furlough, let out of prison for a season, for whatever reason, medical or whatever. So it is a strange thing. And I think this is why some of the modern missions organizations began using the idea of home assignment.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, when I think of furlough, as I've tried to explain it to other people, one of the things that I share with them is it's the idea where, you know, you've gone from some place that's very familiar and comfortable, and now you live in a place that's different, it's foreign to you. And after living there for a time, you return back to where you came from for a season. There's this transition from one location back to a place that's familiar, but it's only temporary. And then you're going to turn around and go back to where you had originally transitioned to. And so when we're talking about furloughs, I think it's important for the listeners to know that what we're talking about is a break from life and ministry on the mission field,
right,
for a season back in your home country, among your own people, your own culture, your own language, but always with the intention of returning back to the mission field where God's called you to serve.
Yeah, that's right. And I think it's important to remember the intention is to go back. The other thing that I think is important for us to consider and really reinforce is it's not a vacation. It's not a holiday. It's actually, most missionaries don't really enjoy furlough because it is so stressful. It's hard to do. You've left your home, so to speak. You're coming back to where you're living temporarily, and there's concern for what's going back in your host country, and yet Here you're rushing and making meetings and such as that. So it's not really a vacation.
Yeah, there's a vacation aspect to it, but in the sense of a break and something different than what you've been doing day in and day out on the field. But as any missionary who's done it will tell you, they're really not a vacation when you come back on furlough.
No, I mean, you know, Lord willing, you get a week or at least some days of vacation while you're back.
Yeah.
And certainly that time of refreshing with your family and friends and such. But it's work while you're back.
Absolutely. So, Ed, you know, why don't we talk about why? Why are furloughs essential? Why should missionaries take a furlough?
Well, as I look through the scripture, I came up with six R's. And six R's probably comes because I have a preaching background. So, you know, we're just going to go through some R's. And the first one is going to be to reconnect. And by this, I mean, you know, our Lord is a relational God. He has relationship with us. He's designed us to have relationship with him, relationship with others. And so as his image bearers, we desire to reconnect with those that we have familiarity with, those people that we want to keep in relationship with, but also relationship with the churches and supporters that are behind us.
Yeah, I like that idea that a furlough is first and foremost a time to reconnect. And so I think it's not only, you know, a reconnection in a sense with those that we know and that we love and that have supported us that, you know, are a part of the fiber of our lives, but I think it's also important to understand that a furlough also reconnects you to your culture, which is where your identity is found. And in fact, you know, as you know, many years ago, the whole idea of taking furloughs in the old school way, of 4 years on the field, 1 year back, the bottom line for that was missionaries that were gone too long, disconnected from their cultures, lost their cultural identity. And they never fit fully in the culture they're now living in. When they come back to the States, they couldn't relate to people here. And so there's not only great value in reconnecting with the people you know and love, but with the culture that makes up your identity.
Yeah, this way you're not lost. You're not like without a compass. You have a connection. The other thing that I think is really important is the reconnection of any missionary children. Those missionary kids, they're special people. And they have an opportunity to meet family or to reconnect with grandmothers and grandfathers, aunts and uncles that they've been apart from. And certainly that's an important thing for those children.
Yeah, it is. And even if, you know, because the parents as adults, you know, you God may call you to stay there for 25 years or the rest of your life. Your kids, God may call them to come back to the country of origin. And so when you come back on furlough and your kids get reconnected to life and family and friends back here in the States and the culture, that's preparing them in a sense for the reality that God may not have the country you're in right now in their future. He may want them to be back in the U.S. living and serving him here.
And it's so important because as America itself is changing, the children need to come back and reconnect with it, get to know it. Because one day they're coming back, like you said, Jeff, they're coming back for university, they're coming back to live, they're coming back for whatever reason. Very important for that to happen.
And one last thought on that is that, you know, of all countries and cultures that exist on this planet, the U.S. changes at the highest speed.
That's right.
And so I think it's really important for kids to be able to reconnect.
Well, let's move from reconnect to renewal. And I always connect this, you know, to keep with the reconnect idea, that I move to renewal to think of when Jesus in chapter 6 of Mark, he pulls his disciples aside for a chance to rest and be refreshed with him. And in a sense, there was a debriefing going on. And so I think as missionaries come off the field for that season, for that time of furlough, it's a time for the churches, and Lord willing that they would invest in their missionaries to give them a proper debriefing from their time on the field.
Yeah, it's crucial. You know, God's wired us to not find the fullness of joy in what we've experienced if we don't express what it is we've experienced, what we've seen taking place. And on a furlough, when the missionary's back and they can talk to their supporters or their church leaders or their friends and family, and they can sort of tell the story of what they've seen God do on the field, that's emotionally healthy for the missionaries. And it's also emotionally healthy for those that are listening to them talk about what God's done in and through them out on the field.
Sure, and a good home church in this time will kind of check under the hood, so to speak. You know, some missionaries have gone through hardships and trials, and I should take back, all missionaries have probably gone through hardships and trials, but they probably need a little bit of checking, make sure everything's okay, see if they need a higher level of debriefing, so to speak, not just the casual conversations with the pastoral staff, but a little bit deeper time of renewal.
Yeah, exactly. And even, you know, it's funny because we use the word furlough, which is sort of an old school word. And then now the word debriefing we're using is sort of an old school word too, which comes especially from the military or, you know, a traumatic incident taking place. But the bottom line is, yeah, on furlough, missionaries need a time to unpack what they've experienced and to process it verbally and relationally with other people. And that will help them to be prepared for whatever God has for them downstream.
Yeah, and we see those biblical examples, Paul and Barnabas coming back and sharing all that God had done in and through them among the Gentiles. And I believe the missionaries need to do that also.
Yeah. One last thought on that one too, and that's that, you know, a lot of people that know missions, they will definitely recognize the value of debriefing when the missionary completes his term of service on
the
field. But what we're talking about is there's great value in debriefing missionaries, at least in a minor way, while they're back on furlough.
Yeah, absolutely. And it doesn't have to be as formal as we may make it sound. It could be a very informal situation.
Yes.
Well, let's move on to retrain. And what I mean by that is when a missionary or a missionary family comes back, you know, technology is changing, educational things are changing, new concepts of ministry are coming along, or new language translations are coming along for the field they're in. And it's a time to retrain and kind of catch up, so to speak, on an area they may be behind in. Or it may be a time to continue working on a degree or any number of those sort of retraining concepts.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, even though, you know, technology has made it possible for you to keep up with a lot of things while you're out on the field, there are certain things about the latest way things are done that you just learn better by being out of your normal environment, being in an environment that's a little unfamiliar to you, and learning it from people that you know and love and trust.
And one of the beautiful parts of the furlough is you can kind of carve out a little time and say, I'm going to take this week to do this seminar or take this class or study this process, something that I can bring back to the field and complete maybe once you're back there in the field.
Exactly. And I think, again, the way of learning it while you're here in the States, because you can you're disconnected from what you're doing out on the field, is most missionaries would prefer to like attend those workshops or seminars where they're actually face-to-face interacting with the instructors or the teachers or the people that are practicing whatever it is they're learning.
Exactly. Well said. Well, let's move on to raise. And by that, of course, I come the need to constantly be raising support, constantly be expanding your email or your contact list as a missionary. There's always that need. And I don't mean to make that sound fleshly or like that's the main purpose, but it is certainly a purpose of taking the missionary furlough, is the constant need to let people partner in the ministry that they could then join you in the work.
Yeah, and I think that's a lot of times overlooked when missionaries come back on furlough. The reality that, again, American life is so transient. And, you know, even if you're gone, say, just a year before you return back for the first time, there's quite a few people in your church now that weren't in there when you left.
That's right.
And so this is the first time. They may have heard about you, but this is the first time where you can really connect to them, where you're nearby. They may have some questions and so forth. And they're going to be people that now may want to participate in what God's going to do in you and through you over there, what he's continuing to do in you and through you.
Yeah, I believe that's absolutely right, Jeff. I've heard, I don't know if this statistic is still accurate, but I heard that the average church has a 100% turnover every 7 years. And so there's a constant change. But not only that, in truth, most ministry is continuing to expand. So there's always more needs. And then on just a real practical level, and this may sound kind of strange, but, you know, I was out on the field long enough, I believe you were as well, Jeff, that some of our people passed away. And so now we needed to find more supporters on just a practical level. And we want that prayer and financial support. So we're always looking to expand it.
Yeah. And, you know, just to be like maybe over the top reality, while we were overseas, even not only did some of our church members die that we knew and loved while we were gone, but some of the couples we knew were divorced by the time we got back.
You know, we had that unfortunate thing also.
You know, and I mean, again, we're trying to get real with these podcasts, but the reality of it is life is brutal. And so, you know, sometimes you come back and you're expecting to have dinner with this couple and nobody told you while you were out there. All of a sudden, you know, they're not with each other anymore as husband and wife like you knew them. Now, as tragic as that sounds, what that usually ends up happening is each of them has moved on to another husband or wife, potentially, which then opens the door for new people to find out about you and what you're doing, and may actually, as God always does, steering the evil for his own glory and good, that tragedy may actually turn out to be a great blessing for you out on the field.
Yeah, and I think in a future podcast, we're going to talk about, you know, scheduling out ahead your meetings with churches and supporters. But the goal here in this RAISE segment is that constantly raising financial and prayer supporters as a as just a purpose of your coming on furlough, one of the reasons why you indeed come on furlough.
Yeah, the more people that know you, that know about what you're doing, the more people there are to lift you unto the Lord and participate in financially or in other ways.
Well said. Now let's move on to another why, and this is to remind. And by remind, what I'm saying is you get to personally have coffee with, maybe stand in front of a church or a small group or a men's or a women's study or whatever the situation may be, and you get to just remind them, hey, you are part of the gospel going across to this people group or this city or this whatever group you're working with, and you get to honestly just look them in the eye and say, thank you. Thank you for being part of the work. Thank you for being, you know, the support base that allows us to be the hands there on the field. And there's nothing better than connecting with those people to thank them and to remind them of what the Lord is doing.
Yeah, and I, you know, this is kind of overlooked, I think, but this is really crucial, because people need to be reminded that the God they serve is the God that loves the whole world. And it's so easy for people to get caught up with what's going on in their lives, in their immediate family, their extended family, their company, their work, their city, their state, their country, that they need to be reminded, hey, God's doing this amazing work around the world. And when the missionary shows up on furlough and is thanking them and describing what God's doing on the field, it's this beautiful reminder that they're part of something bigger that God's doing, and they're making a difference in the bigger thing that he's doing.
Yeah, and there's something special about sitting across from a table, especially in someone's home or in a kind of an intimate situation, and saying, listen, this is fruit to your account. Let me tell you, and you just give them a personal testimony of what God's doing in one of the people that he's using you to minister to, whether it be in a slum setting, whether it be in a wealthy setting, whatever setting that is, to say, you are allowing this. God's using you to make this happen. And there's a special moment.
Yeah, and when that happens, you know, when they're reminded of the bigger thing that God's doing and that they're participating in it, I think what it does is it sort of re-energizes them to continue on with their jobs, their role in the church, their place in the community. It sort of recharges them to do that with maybe more passion than they had even before you came to visit them.
Absolutely. Well, let's move from reminding, and let's talk about refocus. And by refocus, I mean, as you step away from the day-to-day ministry on the field, it's not that you don't care about it. It's not that you're unattached from it. You may be sending emails back and forth constantly, even while your time here in the field, or making phone calls back even. But when you just have that little bit of distance from the day-to-day activity of the mission field, it allows you to kind of give some analysis, to kind of examine it, maybe, you know, critique it, get a different view, and maybe refocus, that you could refresh and have a little bit of new vision when you go back, or maybe something that needs to be removed from the ministry or something that needs added to the ministry.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a spin on the whole idea of absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah, well
and,
said.
And it certainly does when you're away from the mission field and you're back here in the States on furlough. So it really does demonstrate that God's given you a heart for that place, because as we talked about at the beginning, you know, really after a few weeks here in the States, you want to go home. Only when you say home now, you mean whatever country you're now living in. That's a pivotal moment. But what also happens is that you, you know, you're able to put it at arm's length what you're doing over there. And because you're at a distance, like you said, you can kind of look at, that's not really what we intended to do, but we're doing that. And, you know, maybe we need to do this instead. And so you can sort of fine tune or recalibrate what you're doing on the field, because you have a more objective perspective when you're away from it than you do when you're in the midst of it.
Yeah, as you're having those conversations with respected ministry leaders and you're sharing what God's doing in and through you there on the field, you're able to kind of, you know, put it through the lens or put it through the grid of kind of your purpose statement of why you're there. And you can kind of, you know, give some analysis. Are we accomplishing what we were sent for? What are we doing that is moving us towards that goal? What are we not? Are we being sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit to make change if it's called to, or are we supposed to persevere in what we're doing? And every situation will be a little different, but it's really important to take that step back, look at it from afar. I like how you said it, from arm's length, Jeff, and really examine, because, you know, we can just keep doing things because that's the way we've always done it.
Exactly. And that's a danger for all of us, but especially when you're overseas on the mission field. And, you know, that analysis of what you're doing from a distance while you're here in the States and you're seeking wisdom and counsel from your church leaders and other people that you know here, the other thing that you're doing while doing that is not only helping yourself to know where to focus when you get back, but also you're having this person here that you're talking with, they're having ownership in what you're doing out there at a deeper level, because they're actually contributing towards you making some adjustments over there and being more effective with what you're trying to do to accomplish the goal you actually went with.
And those people are going to ask them maybe some challenging questions, and that's good.
Yes.
That's good. And even when they're completely, I use the word respectfully, ignorant of the culture you're working in and the situation you're working in, they're still going to ask some very solid, you know, ministry questions, biblical ministry questions. And you're going to need to, I don't want to use the word defend, but you're going to need to explain why you do things the way you do it. And it's healthy. It's good. It grows you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you know, those are ours, so to speak, of why you come on furlough or why a missionary family will come on furlough. And, you know, they are a strange thing. We started off the podcast by speaking about this. It is strange to leave what has become familiar and come to the States and live kind of temporarily in the States, whether, you know, you're in a guest house or whether you're, you know, in someone's guest room, I should say, or whether you are in a hotel, whatever the situation is. It's difficult and it's hard.
It is. And, you know, there is certainly a component of it where you get a little rest, but it's exhausting, and it's very important, I think, for those that are coming on furlough, which we'll get into this later on when we'll talk about planning furloughs, that you plan it with the right balance of ingredients.
That's right, yeah. But the point is, as difficult as it can be, they can also be a very encouraging time, very needed time, a time where God is going to kind of speak and allow you to take other steps in ministry and possibly bring those supporters along that will help you in those steps of ministry?
Yeah, and I think, you know, kind of under the overarching theme of this podcast, you know, why should missionaries take furloughs? The reality of it is, if you don't take a furlough, you're basically damaging yourself, and you're going to hinder or limit what God wants to do with you on the mission field, if you don't recognize that you need all of the things that a furlough brings for the person who takes it.
Yeah, and that's why I was going to end with the thought that of all things, of all whys we take furloughs, it's because it's needed. It's just needed, and there's kind of no way around it. And I know that there comes a point for a lot of missionaries say it's just not worth the time and the hassle. I would say that's a bad attitude. It is a needed thing that every missionary needs to do. Jeff, any final thoughts?
Yeah, my final thought is going based on what you just said. Yeah, exactly. And what happens is, you know, what the missionary might envision as, I'm not going to take a furlough because I'm called by God and I'm here. I'm willing to sacrifice myself. Actually, it can be selfishness. Amen. Not taking a furlough is actually selfish, because it's not taking advantage of the way God's wired you. It's not providing opportunities for people that know and love you to reconnect with you. All the things that we talked about, avoiding a furlough can be an expression of selfishness, not self-denial.
Well said. Of course, we could say taking too many furloughs could be the same.
That's a
whole other podcast.
Yeah.
So God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to Facilitating the Mission. We appreciate you tuning into us. We appreciate you spreading the news of this podcast to those that it would edify. Give us a little information. We'd love to hear from you on Facebook or from our website, or send us an email. And you never know, you may hear your response here on Facilitating the Mission. God bless you until next time.
Amen.